Would you call yourself a socialist?
No.
You've never told a lie in politics?
No.
See, somebody sent me a video actually last Friday, and it had you talking at the socialist union.
Yes.
And you mentioned the word comrade about four times in a minute. What was that about?
It was a rally, and I would have been about 25 years old.
Comrade.
That was in 2009.
Oh, well, I can't remember which country it was in.
Has it changed since those days?
No, not particularly. No.
Well, with me again today is Dennis Hall. Morning, Dennis. Well, good afternoon, I should say.
It's good afternoon now, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I actually think it is possible.
Well, in the background, I've got the Wellington protest back in February. Every time I look at it, it makes me angry. Angry at what the government... Yeah, the government should have just come out. Those politicians should have come out on the front, right at the very, very beginning, and come out and address the people and said, here's a microphone, hear your views, tell us what's happening. Let them speak. And all the Labour Party people should have been, and the Maori Party should have been out there on the lawn listening, up on the steps, listening to the people. It's the least they can do. And the whole country, you know, a massive amount of people went to that.
Well,
the media downplayed it, but it was huge.
But you've got to be real about all that. I mean, the reality is that everybody knows the politicians are all idiots. Everybody knows that they don't represent the people. They're representing a sort of an ideology. So, you know, I don't know whether the national ones come out and talk to you.
Only Winston Peters, Matt King, Rodney Hyde. Other than that, no politicians or former politicians came out to speak to the people.
Well, Winston Peters, he's got the measure of New Zealanders.
He understands. He's like Rob Muldoon. He understands people.
Yeah, but I mean, he's the most untrustworthy man.
Still wouldn't trust him, no.
I wouldn't trust him. I'd trust him like a wet fart.
Oh, I wouldn't trust one of those. But unlike a wet fart, he never follows through.
Yeah, he appointed Jacinda Ardern, and out of that, you know, look, you know, one of the things about you know, Ardern has been very lucky. And we, the New Zealanders, have been extremely unlucky because Winston Peters appointed her to begin with.
Yes.
And he did, no question. You know, I wondered whether he was banging or something, but what he did was really reprehensible. So he appointed her. And what did she do? She's just said about trying to destroy New Zealand.
Yeah.
And the thing was that had the virus not come along, she wouldn't have got bloody re-elected. She just wouldn't.
I think you're right.
I think that because people react like that in times of stress, and they will decide that changing a government is too dangerous in the circumstances. So they would have whoops, you just disappeared.
Yeah, I'm having issues with my USB. I've got one of those stupid little videos. Oh, it's very nice actually. It's a nice little thing. It's one of those little ones that they put on their computers for games and things like that. So I need a proper camera, you know. Both of us do need a proper camera and a proper mic. I got my mic out today. Look.
All right. Oh, you know, I'm happy with what I've got here. I just had a look today. I've got about 60 little videos on this because every now and again when I feel aggrieved, I just come and sit down and talk to the machine.
Do you?
And I call it talking to the machine.
Oh.
And so there's a whole lot of them there. I mean, they can keep my, I don't know why I do it. You've got to do something. It's like recording an idea. You know, if you've got an idea, it's a good idea to just, you know, I mean, you can sit down. People will interrupt you if you're trying to type it.
Yeah.
If you just sit down and turn the machine on, talk to the machine for a little while, you record the idea. So it's captured, if you know what I mean.
I have to say, though, I never trust a man that doesn't look me in the eye when I'm talking to him. Thank you. Am I looking at you in the eye? I'm not even looking at you. Because what happens with these programs, you look at the screen, you don't look at the camera.
I'm looking straight at your eyes at the moment, but you know, you do.
We should be looking up there.
I've talked to this machine so many times now, I don't care about that anymore. I'm pleased that they haven't put the camera in the middle of the screen.
Are you?
It would have to be sort of secret, but it, you know.
A secret. Anyway, what are you angry about today? You're an angry man today.
Well, it's not like you. been a very frustrating day. I've been trying to talk to Grant Edwardson and what's been going on.
He's going on about viruses not being real and the germ theory is all rubbish as well.
Well, you know, we all believe our stuff.
Well, we'll talk about that later. But, I mean, you'll look at the information he sent you, won't you?
I did read that thing called The Truth About Viruses or something.
What do you think of that?
I thought it was obfuscation. I thought it was, I didn't believe it, basically.
No, of course. But once you actually go and look at the where they get the idea of having a virus, they've never separated any and isolated any virus ever. There is no evidence, no foundational evidence for any virus ever existing. And they show you, these doctors, New Zealand doctors and overseas doctors, show you in their investigations that there is actually no evidence for a virus whatsoever.
So that means they're germs instead?
No. Even the germ theory, which was brought about by Louis Pasteur back in when he tried to save the grapes from being ruined, he plagiarized Beecham's work, who did the cellular theory. His work. Did you not study this at school? We covered it. And
they were busy trying to teach me about God,
the Ten Commandments. Yeah,
I knew the Ten Commandments.
I'll just explain quickly, and then we'll get on to your what you want to talk about. There was Beecham's theory. He came out. He said that there are the cells. When we get disease in the body, it's actually just the cells not at ease. The cells are diseased because of the terrain and in the body through malnutrition or chemicals or poisons, toxins being put into the body. And then when the cells start to die, and as a result of those dying cells, we see the results of it. But Pasteur came along and he said, "Oh no, there are germs attacking from the outside," and it really suited the pharmaceutical industry, this Pasteur's germ theory, because it meant they could come up with an antiviral. Didn't believe in viruses. An antibacterial. They could come up with something that they could shoot them all down and kill these things. And they started experimenting with them on animals actually about 150 years ago. With those first pharmaceuticals and vaccines actually were given to animals, and then so that's where they experimented on farm animals, and then they went to human beings as early as the 1850s. I think the first vaccines actually hit the market for human beings, and they believe that they're responsible. Those early vaccines were responsible for a lot of the diseases and pandemics that the world saw, like the 1918 flu epidemic. They believe that was caused by a mass amount of people, a number of reasons. One, malnutrition, stress from coming out of the First World War, but also most of them had been vaccinated with the smallpox vaccine. And the only people that were actually able to help people during that 1918 pandemic were people that had not been vaccinated. And I found that fascinating. And I actually started on this when I read Virus Mania, and that's put out by Dr. Sam Bailey and a number of other international doctors as well. And it's not just Sam; her husband Mark Bailey is instrumental in that book as well, as well as a lot of other videos that they've done. And what I like about Mark, he does all the back room work and puts all the information together, and then Sam is able to present it so that even a 9-year-old could understand what you're talking about. So that's what I like about their videos. And you can't find them on. She's a medical doctor, so is he. They've had over 15 years, over 30 years experience between them, and they've both been taken off YouTube. That's terrible because. If you want to know the truth, it should be out there for everybody, and you don't have to agree with it, but people should be able to find the truth. But we can't find anything that's different to the narrative, especially over this corona thing. Can't find anything that's different to what the Ministry of Truth, the single source of truth, tells us here in New Zealand. Anyway, that's that. So let's discuss the viruses, but not until you've actually done a bit of research yourself, see where I'm coming from.
I do want to respond to this. I want to introduce you to my foot.
All right.
You see this toe here?
Yes, it was black.
It was black. It had a black toe.
Right.
And they didn't call it black toe syndrome. And I thought, see, it's quite healthy now.
It looks good.
And so, see this other foot?
Yes.
This is my other foot.
And that was in a bad way as well.
And this foot all swelled up.
Yeah.
And so I went, and it was getting worse, and I was not feeling well. So I went to the hospital.
Right.
And they kept me waiting there for 10 hours.
Yes.
My feet want to be part of this. Hang on a minute.
But how do you think you got that? Do you think it was something, a germ that attacked you from the outside? Or do you think it was something to do with your body itself being run down?
I need something to put my feet on so they feel like they're part of this. What I did is I went to the hospital, you see.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I could tell I was in trouble. And it was caused by, I don't know, something that wasn't a virus and maybe wasn't germs or something. But I tell you what.
Well, what did they say it was caused by?
Well, they said, have you been drying between your toes, Mr. Hall? And I said, well, no, I can't reach down there anymore. That's like another country.
Right. Yeah.
Because I'm fat and old.
Right.
And you can tell just putting my feet up on the table has made me breathless. And so anyway, what they did is they got this little bag thing full of stuff, full of secret stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they plugged it in my arm.
Well, they gave you an antibiotic.
Do we believe in antibiotics?
Well, it killed everything, didn't it? It killed the good and the bad.
Well, the good and the good.
Antibiotics work all right. They work all right, but they also work on the good bacteria. So what happened with your body was, according to the cellular theory, is that your body started to break down. And what you were seeing is it was as a result of the cellular breakdown. It wasn't a result of germs attacking you from the outside. That's the
difference. I don't care what they did, except the fact that all I care about is that it made me better.
But wouldn't you be more concerned about how you got that way? Like, what was wrong with your body that caused that you to get that? I mean, other people don't have that. So there's something not right with your body for you to be able to get an infection like that.
You know, way, way back a long time ago, when men were men and women glad of it, I was being driven to Waipakarau by my lovely lady, and I had a heart attack in the car.
Right.
And it wasn't because of her driving, it was because I was just ready for a heart attack. You know?
Yeah.
I'm serious, Grant, absolutely serious.
Yeah, I know. I know the history.
And so I thought, I'm sorry, but all these other people don't.
No, that's right, yeah.
And so I got, over a couple of days, I got carted off to hospital, and this nice Chinese doctor took a whole lot of blood, and he came along and he said, I'm sorry to tell you this, Mr. Hall, but you've had a heart attack.
Right.
Right? And so...
But why did you have a heart attack?
Eh?
What caused you to have a heart attack?
Everything.
No, but that's the thing we've got to figure out. Why did you have a heart attack? Human beings don't just have heart attacks for no reason.
Yeah, you can take your choice. I mean, I worked at nighttime for years as a cab driver. I loved it, eh?
Yeah.
I used to go to the Green Parrot every night, and I used to have a steak, eggs, chips, tomatoes, and oysters at 5 o'clock. And then I'd come back at 1:30 in the morning and do it all again. So that was all I used to eat. I never used to eat any greens at all because I didn't like greens.
Did you have all your vaccines as a young person? You had the whole lot, everything?
The whole nine yards, yeah.
Right.
And so...
Do you know there's no evidence that vaccines do any good to the body whatsoever and that they can actually even stop viruses, which don't exist? There is actually, if you do the investigation, there is no evidence that vaccines are good for you. In fact, they do more harm than good. And that might have caused your heart condition, the vaccines.
Look, I used to smoke 60 cigarettes a day.
Well, I used to too.
I didn't need any vaccines to make me
have a heart attack. I used to smoke 40 a day.
And sugar, you know, I used to drink probably 10 cups of coffee with 3 sugars in it every time all day.
Well, you know, my thing about sugar is I wonder whether that's just the pharmaceutical industry just using sugar as a red herring to take our attention away from the real cause, which is vaccines and pharmaceutical drugs that cause disease. And VD, I do believe VD causes a disease, and not just the primary stage of disease, but some of the tertiary diseases are actually venereal disease related.
I've never, with all of my terrible philandering,
yeah,
over many years with as many ladies as possible, I never ever got VD.
Oh, you not that you know of.
Well, you know, it never fell off.
Hey, you're probably so full of antibiotics that nothing could take.
Well, so now you're telling me they work.
Well, they know they definitely work. No, they definitely work. I know they definitely work. However, are they good for us? And is there a better way? Is there a better way than allopathy? They call that giving a substance to every single human being. They call it allopathy.
If someone came along with a better way, demonstrated that it worked, told me how much it was, I'll give it a go.
Well, the homeopaths believe their way is better, and they've got volumes and volumes of clinical, you know, with all their patients and reporting about their patients over the last 150 years. And they believe the only way you can get rid of a venereal disease is through homeopathic medicine. Properly prescribed homeopathy.
Having never managed to get a venereal disease, I still kind of don't know. I'm not an authority on the subject.
Well, the thing about VD is you can inherit it from your ancestors as well. So if you had a philandering grandfather or great grandfather, you can get tertiary stage diseases from them.
Oh, you know, all of my forebears,
yes,
were too shy to have any. You know, they found one woman who was prepared to do it with them, and they just married them, and that was that.
Mine were like that. Mine were like that. I think my father was a virgin, and my mother—they were both virgins when they got married.
When did you first hear the word virgin?
Oh, I know when you did, at the Catholic school with the nuns, the Virgin Mary.
They talk to us about virgins all the time.
I'm sure they do.
I mean, seriously, absolutely. And they told us that they were virgins as well.
Yes.
Sister, what's a virgin?
Oh, wow.
You should. I'll tell you what, did you go to a Catholic school?
No, I was a Protestant.
It's astonishingly.
I went to a secular school. I went to Levin North and Fairfield Primary, and then I went to Levin Intermediate, and then I came up to Auckland with my parents in 1972, and I went to, I was in Form 2, I was at Mount Roskill Intermediate School, and then I went to Fairfield College, so there we are, that's my history.
Geez, I went to both of those Levin schools with the hot air balloon.
All right, and, Fairfield's
and
good,
I
isn't it?
I never saw you there at all.
No, of course not. I was there in the 60s. Oh, did you ever meet Jenny Burnell? She was a rather plump woman, but very nice. She was like a head teacher. Jenny Burnell at Fairfield School. She was my school mistress and teacher, and also my brother's.
Well, my school teachers at first were Mother Miller.
Mother Teresa.
Sister Kirk and Sister Egan. And Sister Kirk was a dainty little thing and terrified of everybody.
Yeah.
And Sister Egan was a harridan, and Mother Miller had a funny seer.
A harridan. Now, hang on, you told me what a harridan is. That's a naughty person, isn't it?
A harridan is just a sort of a demanding
authority. You're like a battle axe.
Hmm?
A harridan, like a battle axe, like a moaning woman.
Sister Egan was a battle axe. My sister thought she was all right, but, you know. But my sister was much more studious than me. She used to sort of do the work. I didn't.
Didn't you?
I just made little. I used to make caricatures out of the kids in the school.
Because you're a sculptor, of course.
Mm.
Hey, talking about nuns and virginity, my father was in Italy. He was in Italy during the last 3.5 years of the war. And he said they saw pregnant nuns over the top of the high wall. They climb up sometimes, you know what soldiers are like, young fellas. They'd have a look over the top of the, and they said they saw pregnant nuns running around inside. And they weren't just pregnant girls the nuns were looking after. They were nuns. They were dressed like nuns. Unless they were just naughty girls the nuns were looking after, and they dressed them up like nuns. But Dad said they saw pregnant nuns.
In the middle of the war, they might have been raped.
Could have been. Shouldn't think so. Catholic Church was, you know, behind Hitler.
You know, there's for a whole lot of people, that whole business of nuns and things is it's 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 it, it, It is a sort of a source of erotic fantasies that people have.
It might be for you, but it's never been for me. I said the flying nun. I like the flying nun.
Oh, the guy wrote a whole book about nuns and sex.
What about the flying nun? Do you remember her?
That was Sally Fields.
Yeah, wasn't she great in there? Oh, you know Sally Fields. There's a name. My sister, my older sister, she's the splitting image of Sally Fields.
Is that right?
She's a dental nurse. She trained in Wellington in the late 60s.
Mm. Sally Fields was cute.
She was lovely. Yeah, my sister's just like her.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I had no erotic fantasies about Sally Fields. She just looked too bloody almost like a nun to me.
About nuns. Yeah.
Yeah. But so, geez, talk about getting off track. Whoa.
Oh, I know. Now, what are we going to whinge about?
I did a personal private rant to this machine about an hour ago, which lasted 20 minutes, talking about, you know, the dishonesty of this current government and what they're doing to us. These topics need to be dealt with one by one.
Have we got time to talk about it now, or should we end this and start a new one and talk about
absolutely
it?
Yeah.
Shall we?
So we'll, yeah, I'll just try and duplicate what I said. I'm talking about the oil and the oil in the oil refinery and
isn't that shocking what they've done there?
Mm. But it's very counterintuitive, the whole deal. But, you know, I'll talk about that.
All right.
This has been quite nice and friendly and funny, I think. And
funny? You don't believe in viruses. Hey, but will you promise me you'll look at some of those videos I sent you from Sam Bailey's website? Yeah. Dr. Sam Bailey? Go on. You've got nothing to lose. Because if viruses aren't true, if viruses don't actually exist, and the whole germ theory thing, you know, it goes out the window. That means that the whole vaccine thing and the COVID thing was all just bullshit, you know? And that was, they were just using the virus idea, the virus fraud, to keep us all in fear so they could pump us full of toxins.
So, but what you're suggesting when you say that is that they've organized the virus, they've been plotting for generations,
decades,
to get everybody to believe in this.
The pharmaceutical industry want to make huge amounts of money. The stakeholders that in those companies want to make a lot of money, and the only way they can do that is to keep us in fear of viruses, so they can come out with a new vaccine. And they've been doing it for 100 years or more.
But I've had viruses, and they made me very sick.
You think you've had a virus? What you've probably had is just your body is run down.
Well, it is really interesting that my body got the flu, and that was exactly so. In other words, my wife and I, we both got the same flu.
Well, you're probably both a bit stressed or run down or whatever. You know, you live in the same house, you eat the same food. You're both probably, you know, that happens.
No, do I believe in viruses? You know, I'm much.
But there's no actual evidence of a isolated virus. They've never, when they say there is, but when you go and look at the study, actually look at it. Most doctors don't, but Sam Bailey and her husband and others have done it, gone and looked at it. And when they look at it, they see that it's actually rubbish. There's actually no evidential foundation for the existence of viruses. Well, they're open to it if you could show them, but no one's been able to show anybody, you know. And people just believe it's groupthink. The doctors just, you know, they follow the virologists and the epidemiologists, and you know, and virology really, if this turns out to be true that there are no viruses, then virology's at an end. It's the death of virology.
There's also no evidence for God. None whatsoever.
Yes, there is. Plenty of evidence for God. Just look at creation. It didn't happen on its own. Either we came from something or we came from nothing. Nothing comes from nothing.
You're connecting. You're making that connection. I'm not.
No, you're not, because you are willingly ignorant. You don't want, pardon my French. No, you don't want to see the existence of God. You've made up your mind. There is no God.
No, I'm sort of relatively open-minded about it, I think, but I do believe there's no evidence at all that God exists. None. Zero. And the idea that stuff is actually there means that God exists is well, sort
it,
of...
Well, it certainly does. How could it get here? Nothing. Look, you look at science. Nothing comes from nothing. For every effect, there must be a cause. Things don't happen on their own. There must be something. We've got 10 minutes.
We got 10 minutes to talk about God.
No, we've got 10 minutes to never mind God. There must be some first cause. There must be something that caused all this. It didn't happen. Evolution doesn't answer the question, where did life begin? It only tells you how life evolved. But the question surely should be, where did life begin? And so you came from nothing, and everything we see today came from nothing. Never mind the first amoeba. Never mind that. It came from nothing. And that is impossible. That goes against science. We have to have come from something. Even that half-wit, you know, the one that wrote the... I can't remember his name. Every time I look at him, it gives me the... Dawkins. Another one. Yeah, he wrote that book, some blasphemous book. Even he had to believe that there could be something that caused all this.
Reasonable. And I would agree with that. There could be
something. Yeah, well, then I call that God. So we can't come from nothing. So we can't say evolution, because that just doesn't work, doesn't hold water. We have to have come from something or nothing. And nothing makes no sense. So something makes sense.
But if you get a bunch of dogs of different breeds, if you get a bunch of dogs of different breeds 20 years ago and start breeding them, they'll evolve into a breed.
Of course they will. That's microevolution. But not macroevolution. There's no evidence of macroevolution. None whatsoever. If you get a dog and you get a wolf, it's still a dog.
They didn't
get a chihuahua, it's still a wolf or a dog.
They just talked to us about Adam and Eve. I was very suspicious about Adam and Eve. I thought they were up to something, those two. When they told us about Adam and Eve got together and they had Cain and Abel.
You know what the problem is? The nuns have polluted you. They have warped your mind. That's why so many Roman Catholics are atheists. They've done a fabulous job at turning people away from the truth of the Bible.
Hey, look, you know, when I was a little kid at school, when I was a very little kid at school,
with the nuns,
Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel.
Yeah.
Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel, and I just thought, what are Cain and Abel going to do? Because they were the only children of Adam and Eve. What are they going to do? Shag their mum and produce?
And you want to know where Cain got his wife?
Yeah.
Well, if I was able, I could tell you. Obviously, incest was a thing, and if you listen to the geneticists, they'll tell you that you can actually breed with, and there are many cases of that. Cleopatra was as a result of the great Egyptian Cleopatra, and almost became head a queen of Rome as well as the Roman Empire as well as Egypt. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, she is a result of an incestuous relationship, and she, in fact, her first husband was a little brother. So many cultures had incest, but the Bible outlawed it after so many generations, because geneticists today will tell you that if you keep breeding, and we do it on the farm, we have to bring in new stock, we have to bring in a new ram or a new bull, otherwise we get deformities. So that's how they did it. Yeah, they're Cain and Abel. They obviously had relations with their sisters.
Well, they didn't have sisters.
Well, of course they did. Just because they're only Cain and Abel were mentioned, Adam and Eve had many children.
Okay.
Adam was 900 years old when he passed away, and he had one of them when he was 150 years old.
Adam was 900 years old.
You laugh at that, but you know what? One day you'll actually have to go, far out, man. Grant, I wish I'd listened to him instead of the nuns.
No,
I wish I'd read my Bible for myself.
I was very skeptical about what those nuns were telling me.
Oh, I would have been too. I was pre-warned about nuns.
Right from the beginning, I was skeptical about the nuns. They made a big fuss of me because I used to make baby Jesus for them out of plasticine.
Well, that's nice. But everyone liked you because all the girls liked you. Didn't they? Hey, I tell you what I want to talk about with you one day. I'd love to do a special podcast on it, and that is your time at the Aurora Faroe or Orofero, whatever you call it, down in Hawke's Bay. Yeah, mm-hmm. And in Taka, where was it? Hawke's Bay?
Takapau,
Central Hawke's Bay. And that beautiful big mansion, from you were there from 77 to 99. That's it. And that was yours. You had the lease on that.
Yeah.
And that was a 50-year lease. And the slippery lawyers undid the lease and kicked you out. That was a shocker. But that's interesting, because you've got some information now that's about 70 years old about the lord of that manor back in 1953. He came back from the war. He was a decorated Christopher Rawlinson is his name. He was a decorated captain of a tank commander. He was in the D-Day operation in Europe, and he came back to New Zealand to take over the family estate with about 15,000 acres, I think, wasn't it, at the time?
A lot of land, 2,500 acres, I think.
Hmm. And we think that there might have been a bit of a problem between his new wife, and he had a young child, and his mother, who was sort of like the queen of the show, because the husband had gone. Her husband had gone.
The mother was the one who inherited it anyway. So
she inherited, yeah. And of course, Christopher would have inherited it, wouldn't he?
Mm.
But anyway, he got married to this girl, and we think there was a bit of hatred, you know, mother-in-law stuff there.
Well, it could have been. Look, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Because I've had an unusual day.
Yeah.
And if we're going to do this again, the thing that I'd quite like to talk about is that topic there.
Why don't we
shut this one off, and
let's start it again, and I'll get a new. I'll put a photo of the homestead up.
And I've got a few photos here.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do that. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. We'll get lost, and I'll catch you in a minute.
So you'll just come back on, and I'll just
I'll send you a new link.
Okay. Well, so I've got to go to my email.
Yeah, email. That's what you like, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Until next time. It's good night from him, and it's good night from me.
People should not be walking around with masks. Let me just state for the record that masks are not theater. Wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better.
And masks are protective. But
it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is.
Mark, there has not been any indication that putting a mask on and wearing a mask for a considerable period of time has any deleterious effects.
There are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course.
You do not need to wear a mask indoors if, in fact, you've been vaccinated. But good that you're vaccinated, but in a situation where you have people indoors, particularly crowded, you should wear a mask.
So even if you are vaccinated, you should wear a mask.
That if, in fact, you are vaccinated, fully vaccinated, you are protected, and you do not need to wear a mask outdoors or indoors.
When the children go out into the community, you want them to continue to wear masks.
You know, if you look at children outside, particularly when they're with the family, walking down the street, playing a game or what have you, don't have to wear a mask.
The Academy of Pediatric actually makes that recommendation that children should be wearing masks from 2 years old onward.
And you're asking now, if your child is a member of your household, can you walk outdoors with your child without a mask? According to that chart, the answer is yes.
But the child can't, not to beat it to death. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Because now the CDC says, I mean, I think I've got this right. One mask is better than zero masks. Two masks is better than one mask. But you don't have to have double masks. Is that right? I mean,
you know, it became clear that cloth coverings that you didn't have to buy in a store, that you could make yourself, were adequate.
And then you want it to fit better. So one of the ways you could do it, if you would like to, is put a cloth mask over, which actually here and here, where you could get leakage in, is much better contained.
And are you a double masker, Dr. Fauci? Look like you are.